The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. In one age, called the Third Age by some, an age yet to come, an age long past, a married couple decided to start a podcast.
This is Shade of My Heart, a Wheel of Time podcast. I'm Josh, and this is my wife, Kat.
Hello, hello. We are super excited to talk about this episode with you. This one is called Demone.
Yeah, and I'd say this was a fantastic episode. It really did a lot of world building with the Sean Chan and with the Aiel.
Agreed.
And I'd say even the White Tower. I mean, it really...
Yeah, agreed. Totally agreed.
They've really done a good job world building. One of the things that it did great with giving us a peek at is more about the Sean Chan.
Yeah.
Where Suroth is taken to task because she broke the rules and Turok is not happy and he's not buying her explanation. And so I love her punishment to give her the manicure.
That was so crazy. Ah! Well, and they built it up really well because she, every time she told the voice to do something, or she told anybody to do something, she'd flick her fingernails in a certain way.
Yeah, which are, like, ridiculously disgustingly
long. Oh, my goodness.
Long.
It's like they've been growing them since they were born. I actually didn't realize that they were supposed to be, like, real. But, of course, they are, like, supposed to be real. But, yeah, when they cut them off, oh, man, that was... It was so cool because it really was, like, oh, this is awful. When it's, like, it's just fingernails. Yeah. But they, I think they built it up enough to really make it hurt.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Yeah. And
even
so,
though we obviously, like, it's not like she's this great thing person that we're like, oh, yay, Suroth. Like, we definitely don't like her. But still, it was like, oh.
I was fascinated, really, by the interaction between Turok, Suroth, and Eshamael. Because Eshamael is willing to allow Suroth to kind of eat crow so that he can maintain his influence in the Sean Chan court. And Turok is not a dark friend. He's not on board.
Right. It's obvious now that Suroth is. We were saying 100% before,
accurate.
I was like, I don't know if she realizes who she's working with.
She does.
For sure, 100% she does.
They have that awesome conversation between between Suroth and Eshamael.
Yeah.
Where you find out without any ambiguity, she's not happy with what he's doing, but he is a chosen. She knows that. And so she's willing to do what he says, even though she doesn't really like.
Yeah. But then when he's like, I know why you swore to the dark. It's like, ooh, foreshadow much. Like,
yeah.
I wonder what it's going to be. It's really, I love. So I do. This whole thing with the Sean Chan, the way I envisioned them in my head, this is even cooler. And, like, their masks. I love how the ones who are the voice, the people who are, like, speaking for the High Blood are, like, wearing those mask things around their faces. And then, of course, Suroth's mask that covered everything except her lips.
Okay, so there's another world-building thing. And they didn't talk about this, but they definitely did it. They show rank by how much of their head is shaved.
Oh, that's right.
So Turok having his entire head shaved is a statement that he is very high ranking.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw the blood, the other nobles there. That's what they call their nobles, the blood, which I think is so cool. I love it. I wish I could be the blood. But they have various states of their heads shaved.
Right. They would have like just a little bit or half or whatever. But and Suroth really only had that like a mohawk-ish thing. So she has a lot of hair. But it's mostly her head is shaved. It's all just kind of this one big braid thing.
Yeah. So that's something for the viewer that hasn't read the books to just watch for the Sean Chan, how much of their head is shaved tells you what their rank is.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool.
We also have the Horn of Valir being brought to Turok.
By Fane. Padan Fane comes into play here. So in the books, we do not have Eshamael hanging out with Sean Chan like this. This is not... Mm-mm. But Suroth is a dark friend.
Yes.
In the books. So Fane actually is the one who is kind of weaseling in here.
Yeah.
Which I guess we don't need to go much into it, but he does bring the horn to Turok.
Yes. And just like the books, Turok knows how to open that chest.
Right.
It he was knows this, how like, to do the weird combo
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it was like a puzzle chest, and nobody could get it open.
Yeah, Fane couldn't.
Right. And that's kind of why he took it to them, because he was trying to get to... Isn't it in the books, isn't the dagger in there with it?
Yes.
So he was actually trying to get to the dagger.
Yeah.
And so he had Turok open it for him. So that's a little bit different, but it's still, like, tracking.
Yeah. Yeah. So Turok, I really like his character. He's mm-hmm. he's very strong. Not evil, but not good, precisely.
Right. Right.
He's not a dark friend, at least. And he's extremely loyal to his oaths to the Empress. He is not at all somebody that wants to become the Emperor.
Right. Right. He's very loyal. He takes his duties seriously.
Yep.
He takes the duties of others seriously.
Yes, he holds them to it. That, you know,
holds them to a high standard. Yeah.
Example of that.
And that. So then, if we want to kind of keep on this track, when Ishamael, well, I guess we can't. Okay, I guess we can't keep on that track yet. We probably need to put a pin in the whole Shan Chan.
Yeah, we'll come back situation. To some stuff with them a little bit later.
And we could probably go now to talk about Perrin, because
yeah.
he was with them the last time we saw him. He was with Loial and Ingtar and Ishamael and that whole convoy.
So Elias here is a little different than the books, but he's close enough to where Elias does not care about humans.
No,
he cares about Perrin because he's a wolf brother.
Yeah.
And he cares about the wolves because they're his pack. You know who he doesn't care about? Loial or the Shinarans.
Right.
He does not care. And he doesn't want Perrin to care.
Right.
He tries to talk Perrin out of caring about his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Perrin...
And this is evident in the show when he's like, they're not your pack.
Yeah.
The people from the Two Rivers are not your pack.
Yeah, that's exactly what he says to him.
Yeah.
He does not care about the world of humans. But Perrin does. And so Perrin really wants to rescue his friends from the Shan Chan. Because mm-hmm. he's like that. He's a good dude. And then Hopper tells him about Uno, his right. friend who ate the horn
oh my gosh.
Against his will,
oh my
forcibly
gosh.
Sworn
right.
The oaths, is in a cage. And Perrin's disturbed that they didn't even give him a proper burial.
Yeah, so I think his plan is to go and take Uno's body and bury it.
Yeah, and this is Atuin's Mill, the same village where Suroth overextended. And
what she's in trouble for.
That's why she's in trouble with Turok, yeah. And now, the village has been taken over by White Cloaks,
right.
who push the Shan Chan out.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet Dane Bornhold.
Yeah.
Who's the son of Bornhold, the White Cloak commander that we met last season briefly.
Yep.
Very briefly.
Yeah, very briefly.
And we see our old pal, Valda.
Yeah, Daemon Valda.
Aemon.
Aemon? Something.
Something.
Right. Dane Bornhold, Aemon Valda.
Yeah.
Got it.
Aemon Valda.
I loved the way this was, too.
They don't really like each other.
No, obviously. But I mean, like, the introduction. So we've got, you know, we've got Perrin checking out Una's body, and then this random woman, this Aiel woman in a cage, who is like, you know, it's going to be loud, whatever. And then when Dane comes out, we don't know who he is at first.
No.
He looks like just a common dude, like, trying to warn Perrin against, you know, you don't want to mess with her.
And he's got this,
come
like,
sit
brown
with me.
Cloak on.
Right. So at first I was like, oh, okay, this is just a villager dude and he's really nice. And then we see the white...
They're, like, having a drink together.
Yeah.
When Perrin sees under this cloak, he's
a white cloak. And Perrin, of course... As a reminder, if you've forgotten, because it's been a long time since we watched the show, he was captured.
And tortured
and
by Valda.
And tortured by Valda.
Yeah.
And that was when he, like, had the yellow eyes. I think that was the first time that we saw the yellow eyes.
Yes.
Was when he was, like, raging out.
Yeah, so he's not interested in hanging out with Valda.
Right, and he really just doesn't want trouble.
Yeah.
Like, really, Perrin just wants to live his life. He just doesn't want to get involved with this kind of trouble. He just wants to go rescue his friends.
But it follows him.
But it follows him.
He cannot escape from it.
Mm-mm.
So after he pretends like he's going to bed, he goes out to rescue Avienda. And I loved this part. This part was so cool because he gets her out of the cage, and then there's a ton of white cloaks around them. And she goes, "Do you like to dance?"
Well, I love how
Oh, love it.
he tries to get in front of her, like he's gonna rescue her or whatever, and she like laughs.
Yeah.
And then that's when she pulls her veil up and says, "Do you like to dance?" It was so
Yeah.
good.
And that is a
So
very
good.
ideal thing. Now, in the book, something like this happens. But it's not Avienda in the cage. It's a male Aiel who becomes Perrin's buddy named Gaul.
Yeah.
And Gaul, when the white cloaks are closing in, says, "Do you like to dance, Perrin Ibarra?" And
Yeah.
then he proceeds to
Yeah. So a
di
lot of this.
if an Aiel asks you to dance, he's going to kill you.
Yes.
He's not asking you to dance, he's
Yes.
asking you to fight. And
Yes.
they are the best.
Yeah, as
I
seen
loved the
here.
choreography.
Oh, man.
Big props to the choreography crew because Avienda was mixing in a bunch of different martial arts. I saw her do some capoeira. I saw her do some judo throws. I saw her do some
Some
jujitsu,
Eskrima.
some escrima. Yeah, I saw her doing all kinds of wild stuff, and it
It
was
was really cool.
so good.
Yeah, it
Loved
was
it.
really cool. Yeah, and a lot of that is just lifted straight from the book, which I appreciate. And Gaul is at least for now, maybe we'll meet him later, but that's fine. I think Avienda is a
Yeah.
character we should meet pretty early on,
Yeah,
so.
I actually like introducing her a bit earlier because she does become one of the main characters. But in the books, you don't really meet her until book three, The Dragon Reborn.
Right.
So this was great to see her fighting. She's deadly. She likes to fight. That's part of who she is. And Perrin makes a good account of himself.
Yeah.
He could not have taken all these white cloaks
No
on his
way.
own,
No way.
but he held his own out there.
Well, especially with her holding a bunch of them off.
Yeah.
And
But Perrin holds her back from killing
that's what I was about to say.
Bornhold, yeah.
That's what I was about to say. I was actually really surprised that she didn't, because like why should she care? But then she agrees. She says, "Okay, I won't kill him." Basically, they leave, and then we kind of see why she cares with this great exposition of what is the Aiel culture. So when they're sitting around that fire, she talks about, you know, your water is mine, and she talks about the threefold land, which Perrin calls it the waste, but she explains why the Aiel call it the threefold land. And what is that, Josh? Why is it the threefold land?
It's to shape them. It's to punish them. It's to teach them. She doesn't know what they're being punished for. She doesn't know what the
She
sin
knows it's
is.
the sin. Yeah.
But she says it's so long ago that.
Nobody remembers what the sin actually is.
Yeah.
So then she.
And she talks about Giotto.
Right. So then she talks about, I have toe. And he looks at her like, what are you talking about? She says, Gito, which we didn't still get an explanation, but you get the idea that this is some sort of, you saved my life, so I owe you something.
Yeah.
And I really like that. Avienda is a very strict follower of Jiito.
It's what makes the Aiel the
It's
Aiel.
what makes the Aiel the Aiel. The fact that they follow this rule of kind of.
You could actually do it as like honor and obligation.
Well, that's what they do call it
Yeah,
in the books.
that's
Yeah.
what they call it. That's the translation.
Yeah.
So toe is obligation.
Right.
So it's like I owe you something.
Yeah.
And then if you do something great, you gain much gi by having honor in battle or helping somebody out or something.
Right.
So she could say that Perrin earned gi by going to rescue her,
And now
and she
she
has
has toe.
toe toward him.
Yeah.
And
Very
so
cool.
they're all about like balancing it out and paying back whatever debt is owed. Yeah, it's a I love the Aiel
I do
culture.
too.
It's
They're
really,
really
really
cool.
cool.
They're
And you
really
also get
cool.
a sense of Avienda's sense of humor, where she teases him about sharing his bed, and he's like, and she's like, aha, I gotcha.
Yeah, and that's something that definitely comes up a lot too, that the Aiel humor is not often shared by the wetlanders. They call them wetlanders
Yep.
because what we learned about the waste is that there's not a lot of water there.
Yep.
But yeah, I like that she teases him about that, and he like doesn't get the joke, because
Yeah.
that for sure is like a big thing with the Aiel too. Yeah, so I'm really happy about the Avienda character, what the
Yeah,
actress is
I like
doing.
that
I like it
actress,
so
yeah.
far. It's really
Yeah.
good.
Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move now. Let's move over to the White Tower. We've got Varen back in the tower
Yes.
unexpectedly.
Varen is investigating, And I love she goes to the tower and she has this great reunion with some brown sisters who they seem genuinely friends,
Yes,
which
definitely.
is unusual because when we've seen Aes Sedai interact, it's
There's been a
usually
lot of
like
like tension.
undertones of tension and yeah, kind of
Yeah.
very formal and cold.
Yes.
But they were like, "Oh, it's so good to see
Right.
you.
And they're
How's
like,
your
let's have
book
a drink
coming?"
together. And
Yeah.
yeah. It was very sweet.
I like the camaraderie.
I did too. It was really, really sweet.
So, Varen, in the books, she's described as having perfected chatter, just like empty chatter,
Yeah.
and seeming making people think that she's not as perceptive as she really is. And this character so far in the show is doing a really good job of that, of being kind of like hiding her shrewd mind behind just friendly chit chat.
Yeah. Well, and as a viewer, I think we are seeing that
Yeah.
it's that she's, you know, trying to pretend for them or whatever. Like we see her being like, "Oh, that's so interesting," but then like when somebody turns their back, you see the look on her face sort of change to like we know that she's being pretty shrewd.
Yes. And so she goes to Shiryam and she asks about where Egwene and Nynaeve are.
But even that whole thing is, you know, we have some kind of banter before that. She's like, "Oh, your switch is getting dust. I got beaten so many times when I was a novice. Ha ha ha." Like it's just, I'm not really here for anything important. Oh, but I did want to talk to these two novices.
Because they're super powerful and everyone's talking about them. I'd love to meet them.
Yeah, want to just interview them for my book,
And
maybe.
Shiryam at first makes like, "Oh, they must be in their classes." And then
Right.
Varen's like, "They're not though."
They're not there, they're not in their rooms, they're not in there doing their chores, they're not, so it's like, uh-oh.
Now we know from last episode that Leandrin has kidnapped them and they're out of the tower.
Right.
And Shiryam is clearly covering.
Well, yes, but then she looks in her book and she finds the entry and she's confused by the entry. She seems genuinely confused and like that is strange. I don't usually forget things like this.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And so the cover story is that it's Elaine's brother's birthday.
Right.
Now,
So then Elaine and Egwene and Nynaeve all went.
the rules are novices don't leave the tower.
Right.
Not even for your brother's
For
birthday.
nothing. Yeah. So it shouldn't be that they're gone. And it's so interesting later in this episode, we have, you know, Varen obviously trying to figure out who was out of the tower and all this, and then she says to what's the girl, Yasika, she's like, could, you know, Yasika's like this pro at finding people's handwriting and she's got a photographic
Tremendous
memory
memory, yeah.
and she's actually even showing her what the handwriting looked like and everything, and it's so interesting because then Varen says, would this happen if someone were under compulsion? And it gives the idea of like that compulsion is something with the power that you could do to someone to force them, you know, to do what you want them to do. So that would be a reason that Shiryam does not remember writing it if someone forced her to.
True.
So,
And that means Black Aja, because
right.
compulsion is a forbidden weave
Yes.
to other Aes Sedai.
Because you should not be forcing people to do whatever you want them to do. That's not, you know what, listeners? Don't do that. That's not nice. It's not a good way to have friends.
That's the official stance of this
That's the
podcast.
official stance. Be nice and don't use compulsion on people.
Speaking of not nice people,
Ah, yes.
Varen interacts with your old friend Leandrin, that lovely woman.
Yep. Who has the perfect alibi with her white asparagus that you can only get this time of year in this one place far away.
It's a delicacy, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, so she definitely, Varen's definitely suspecting Leandrin. And I suppose that could bring us to backing up
Where
to
are the
Leandrin
girls?
and yes, and Egwene and Elaine and
So
Nynaeve.
we get our next glimpse of the waves.
The ways,
The
yeah.
ways on the way to Tommen Head. And it's again a spooky place, but they're not attacked this time.
Right, which is lovely.
They actually make it through safely.
Yeah.
And Nynaeve, Egwene, and Elaine are delivered over to the Seanchan, bound hand and foot.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Leandrin coming out of the ways, and a bunch of Seanchan are right there. Lady Surrath and her entourage are all just waiting for them, and they have this very tense interaction.
Yeah.
So we get some really interesting glimpses of, yes, they are working together, but they are not friends.
No. I love that little interaction. So tense and so, like, high stress of Leandrin or Surrath being like, all Marth Damani should be leashed, meaning people who can channel, basically women who can channel. And so she's like, when we win this battle and it goes my way, I'll put the collar around your own neck myself. And then, of course, Leandrin comes back with, like, no, I'll kill you instead. And
no, it's like, you'll bow before me.
Oh, yeah, you'll bow before me. Right, right, right.
Leandrin wants power.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
So they hate each other.
Right.
Clearly, they don't trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they're forced to work together because they both serve a shaman.
If you're working with the Dark One, it's probably hard to trust people, to be fair.
That's very true.
Yeah.
You can't trust them.
Yeah.
By definition, they're all bad.
Right, exactly. They're betrayers.
Yeah.
Ishmael's, one of his names is Betrayer of Hope.
Yeah.
So.
Not nice people.
Yeah.
But I think because she had that bad interaction with Surrath, and because I think she actually does kind of like Nynaeve,
mm-hmm.
she channels briefly to free Nynaeve's
mm-hmm.
Bonds. Wrist.
Yeah.
And so then they have this opportunity where Elaine, Egwene, and Nynaeve are able to kind of start to escape,
mm-hmm.
and the Damane are trying to catch them.
And this is, again, this is like straight lifted from the book. This exact scenario happens, except I guess she doesn't give the little singe of the ropes.
She doesn't.
That part doesn't happen.
Leandra doesn't help them at all.
No. But this whole situation with Elaine and Nynaeve and Egwene trying to escape,
and
the two
Nynaeve and
make
Elaine
it out,
get away,
and Egwene gets collared. So, and we actually talked about in one of our previous episodes that we didn't know why they didn't have the collar and leash, and I thought it was just because you shouldn't leash people, but they did it in this episode. They do have a collar, which I guess my thought is that they're going to do it the way the books did it with the collar and the leash at first. And then maybe it's like once a Damani is like all the way trained and can be trusted, then they just get their golden pacifier.
Yeah, oh, the golden pacifier.
That's all you want. You just want your golden pacifier.
Yeah. They did a cool thing where it was kind of like a magical leash.
Yeah.
Where she puts it up to her neck and it not only goes around her neck, but it goes like over her torso.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
Well, it is an Ongrial.
It's a Trongrial.
A Turongrial.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Turongrial are objects of power, and those are what the twisted arches are Turongrial.
Yeah.
Ongrial.
Turongrial can be all different shapes, sizes, and functions, but they're objects of the power that use the power to do a specific function.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then she's captured, and Elaine and Nynaeve want to help her, so they go all the way to Falm. And they sneak into town, and then they're assaulted by some random guy. But it's not some random guy. Who is it?
It's a warder.
Yeah.
And he brings them back to this Yellow's place of residence, I guess. And, of course, she warns them, like, what are you guys doing? People are looking for you. Which Elaine was trying to warn Nynaeve. People will be looking for us. And Nynaeve was not very smart. But now, hopefully, this means that they can have some help looking for Egwene. Now, we also see Egwene being brought by Ishmael as a gift to Turok.
Yes.
So Turok, of course, is pretty sus of this random man who has joined Surrath's, like her people.
Yeah, her court.
Her court. Entourage. There you go. Her court. And so, you know, he's questioning Ishmael, who are you? How'd you get here? And Ishmael does a beautiful job of pretending like he's subservient.
And Turok makes an interesting comment that it was Ishmael that saw the omens to say that it was time.
Yeah, that's
So that means
right.
that he went to the continent of Shanshan and told them that it was time to come back. So he's behind. And that's a change from the books.
Yeah.
To have them kind of go at the, you know, influence at least of Ishmael, if not the order of Ishmael.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
Yeah. All right. So are we ready to talk about Rand?
Yeah. I think that covers everything except this whole Moraine Rand Lanfear story.
So when we left off last time, Moraine had attacked Lanfear and was on the run with Rand. And so this episode picks up with them running as fast as they can through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And Rand still being pretty confused about what's going on here.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. So then they go and they get those horses. Oh, okay. So Moraine coming into the horse stable and she's like telling the horse lady, like, you're coming with us. And then she slits that horse's throat. I feel like that was such a... at first I was like, ugh, this is disgusting. But then I realized, like, it's a really good way to show us how dedicated Moraine is to her cause.
Yeah.
She picks up on these little tiny details. Like, she sees the horse and she immediately knows, if I let this horse stay here, Lanfear will follow us.
Yeah.
And I sort of feel like maybe she could just take the horse with them, just have an extra horse.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, I don't do horses, so maybe that would be harder somehow. I don't know. But I do think part of it was to show us the depth of her dedication.
Yeah, she's willing to do whatever is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even do some things that aren't strictly necessary.
Right, yeah.
So they make off with these horses.
Mm-hmm.
Lanfear comes sometime later,
mm-hmm.
and she meets another guy on a horse. This poor guy hasn't done anything wrong.
And he's like, oh, can I help you? But then again, we've just seen this display of Moraine's dedication. So now we see this display of Lanfear's power, just like a flick of the wrist, and that dude's head explodes.
Yeah. Yeah, she does not value human life even a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
She's ruthless, brutal.
And
so she takes his horse, and she's like, I hate horses. They're so slow. It's a stupid horse.
Which gives us an indication that she knows of a better way.
Right.
She knows of a faster way that we just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
And so Rand and Moraine are still kind of on the run, and then they finally have a minute to breathe when they trick her and, you know, hide in the woods or whatever, and she's able to share with Rand, this is what's going on, this is who she is, and we've unleashed this terrible fury, and you obviously see how, concerned is, like, not even the right word.
Mm-hmm.
Scared, I don't know, like, so many things that Moraine is, it's like she doesn't know what to do. And then that scares her, too, because she usually knows what to do.
Yeah. And now she doesn't. But her sister kind of helps her get to the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet Barthonas, who's her son. Now, Barthonas is in the books, but I'm not sure if they're going to do anything consistent with that other than the name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he's not young in the books, and he's not going to marry the queen.
Right.
So I'm not sure what to think about his character so far, but he's friendly to Rand.
Yep.
And
it's interesting.
He's got a terrible haircut.
Yeah. Yeah, his hair is really bad.
It's like one side is permed and the other side is not, and it looks ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. It is pretty terrible. It's like they wanted to do something fancy.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, oh, this looks too normal.
Okay, half a perm.
Oh man.
Well, yeah, it's different.
So bad.
That is true. It is different.
It's really funny. Yeah, but I'm loving the stuff with Moraine and her sister, and it's interesting because, like, for Moraine, who knows when the last time it's been, I guess 20 years or something since she's seen her sister. So she was still like a young lady, and now it's, you know, she's older, she's wiser. And so you see this respect that Moraine is giving her sister that she didn't before.
I love Anvar giving Moraine the same advice that Moraine gave her when she was little.
Yeah, that was really sweet.
So what is it? It's if there's something when you're faced that with upsets a hard decision. You. Is it true?
Is it true? Yeah.
So she says, is it absolutely true that Rand cannot defend himself?
That Rand needs your protection. Oh,
thank you. Yes, that he needs your protection.
Yeah, and you just see Moraine like, oh, maybe he doesn't need me.
Yeah.
And that drastically changes things.
Yes. So she had told Rand, we can't go to sleep because that's Lanfear's domain.
Yeah, that's where now, she lives. That's where she eats her breakfast.
That's where she eats her breakfast. She can't mess with it. Now, the thought that, well, that's cool, I just won't ever sleep again, is clearly an unworkable plan.
Right, you can't do that.
You can't just not sleep again.
I liked the little sidebar. I liked the little interaction with Lanfear and Ishamael.
Uh-huh.
When you first see, like, Rand sleeping and Ishamael's like, touches his face and stuff. I was like, what is happening here? And then it's Lanfear, and you see, but it shows you this, like, she has control of the dream world of Teleron Riad.
Yes. So the books do a lot in the world of dreams, and it's a weird place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about strength of will. You can make anything happen. You can look like anyone and do all kinds of wild stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The only limit is your imagination and your will.
Yeah.
So we're getting a taste of that, and Lanfear is a master, and so is Ishamael in the books. So this is all very accurate, even though this exact scene is not in the books.
Right, right. But it was a good building the story.
Yes.
Ishamael knows where the boys are. He knows where the girls are. Like, he knows what's going on.
He's got a plan. Now, he makes a really interesting statement about Matt.
Yeah.
He says that Matt was born his.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Well, and Moraine had said when Matt got the dagger, she said something about the dagger was feeding off of the darkness in Matt.
Yes.
As much as he was feeding off of it or something like that. We're definitely getting that Matt has this kind of darkness in him already.
Yes.
So yes. That's very interesting.
We didn't see Matt this episode.
No, it made me so sad. I love
Presumably,
that.
Min is doing Ishamael's instructions of taking him to Kyrian now.
Right. I mean, that's got to be what's going on. Oh, which is where Rand is. Yeah?
Yep.
Isn't he in Kyrian?
Yes, he is.
That's interesting.
So this episode ends with Rand purposely going to sleep.
Yes, because Moraine finally realizes maybe she doesn't have to be a babysitter.
Yeah. And now, Moraine doesn't have the ability to channel or to enter into Teleron Riad. So she is not going to be able to protect Rand there. So this is really a big risk, but the goal of Rand going there is to kind of figure out what Ishamael is up to.
Yeah, so I loved this scene. We've seen this thing with him tied to the wheel. We've seen pictures of this. We've seen this all over the place.
Yeah.
But it is so stark and so cool, him tied to the wheel. And then Lanfear in that hair and that
crazy headdress.
It was so cool. She looked amazing.
Like, so awesome. Yeah. Also, dude's been working out.
Great. Yes. Yeah, and of course, the other thing was, again, that's a nice display of her control over Teleron Riad, that as soon as he fell asleep, she's there immediately. She's got him.
Yep.
And I was thinking about that when she was like, oh, when they fall asleep, they're mine. But I thought, like, how are you going to find them? But it was no problem for her. She can figure it out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm so happy that the show is going so well.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So
thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you are enjoying the show as much as we are, and I hope that you give us a good review, tell some friends, and until next week,
may you always find water and shade.